I want to speak to you on the laws of spiritual work. I was so tempted to go back to the book of Revelation. You know, I've stayed there for about a half a year or more, preaching every Sunday on that wonderful book. Someday we will. A preacher, famous one in England, had a nobleman to come to his service one Sunday, and after the sermon was over, the nobleman went out and said, "That preacher is crazy. He's simply crazy. Because what in the world has religion got to do with everyday personal living?" Well, that preacher was right. It's got everything to do with it. Everything to do with. And in this commissioning service this morning, I have chosen seven words or seven verses of scripture from the book of John chapter 4, in which the disciples were astonished at the change and the wonderful satisfaction which Jesus had. They left him to go to the city to buy food. And he was reclining by the well of Jacob. And while he was there, a woman came and he talked to her about some living water. Now, when the disciples came back, he was sitting up, his face aglow, his eyes filled with kindness and compassion, and they saw a remarkable change in him. And presently, one of them asked him to partake of some food in verse 32. And here is what he replied, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." They looked around. Had anybody brought food? There was no one present. And then they ask a question of him in verse 33. The disciples said one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Has somebody brought him a sandwich or something perhaps while we were gone to the city? And Jesus answered them in verse 34. He said this, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then Jesus changes the conversation over to sowing, reaping, and harvesting. Now I want to talk to you about three or four spiritual laws. Now these will be applied to the workers who've been commissioned this morning, but truly they might be applied to each person who is seated here in this congregation this morning. First of all, the first law is this: spiritual work is refreshing to the soul and the body. Don't miss that. It is refreshing to the soul and the body. In verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." My food, he says, is to finish the work that God has sent me to do. Now, it is very stimulating to do religious work. It is something like a child at play. Now you know how it is. Here's a little child out here playing with his toys. And you say to him, "Come on, let's eat." "Oh no, I'm not hungry." You know? You know how a child does. You remember your own childhood, don't you? That's not too far away. You were playing with a little toy in the dirt or something outside or somewhere in the house. And it was lunchtime or dinner time. And you just said, I'm not hungry. What? You were so interested and so carried away with what you were doing. It was just so refreshing to you. Now that's what Jesus is talking about to these disciples here. He said, if you will do this, your soul and your body will be better off. Do you know something? Some of the no-count Christians today would be better off physically if they do something for God. You'd be better off health-wise. Do something for God. I guarantee you sit down and do nothing for the Lord, you're going to dry up like a prune. You really will. I don't know how that is, but you'll do it. But as long as you're in the midst of it, doing spiritual work, it will refresh your soul and your body. When Dr. Menninger, that great psychiatrist, was holding a forum, and there were a lot of people in the room, and somebody stood up and they said, Dr. Menninger, what does a person have to do when he feels a nervous breakdown coming on? Well, did the good man of medicine say, go see a doctor? Oh, no. He said, lock your door of your house. Go out across the track somewhere. Find somebody that has a need and begin to minister to them spiritually. And he said, it'll help your body and your mind. Now, what Jesus was saying to these disciples is, in spiritual work, why you have meat that the world does not know of, it'll sustain you physically and mentally and in every way. So here's the first law I want to propound and expound. Now, the second law that Jesus talked about here is found in verse 35. There are seasons in spiritual work. There are seasons in spiritual work. The laws of spiritual work is that it has to be done at a certain season. There's no putting it off, you know. You can't wait on it. Notice what he says here in verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Jesus says here now, look at the wheat out here in this field. Well, it was planted back yonder about November, December. Now, don't you stand around here and say it'll be 4 months until it's ready. He says, look at here, look at this field, look at these people. It's all ready for harvest. And the season for spiritual work is something that's perennial. It's every day of the year. It's in all seasons. Missionaries in China, Japan, wherever they are today, working, planting seed, revivals going on. And we know quite often, if we as earnest individuals will continue to pray and work and labor, then this is the season for spiritual work. It is the season. More ways than one. You know something? A few years and your days will be gone. That is your life. You'll be an old man. You'll be ready for the undertaker. And so there, see that Jesus was right when he said, in spiritual work there are seasons. And he says it's ready right now for you. Go on and get it. Then there's a third thing I want to say to you about spiritual work. And that's found in verse 37. In verse 37. Spiritual work links all workers in unity. Don't miss that. It links together all workers in unity. Herein is a true saying, Jesus said in verse 37. One soweth and another reapeth. And I sent laborers, he said, and sent you to reap, whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. That's the law of spiritual work. People in the past have sown, planted, and you today may reap the harvest. Sometimes we sort of rest on other people's shoulders. We don't know how much we depend on them. We're like the little boy who was lifted up on his daddy's shoulders, and up above his daddy's head he clapped his hands and he says, I'm taller than daddy. Well, in a sense he was, but he was on somebody else's shoulders. And so it is in spiritual work. We stand on somebody else's shoulders. Quite often, you know, in this world, a man takes up his father's business, carries it on. He works on somebody else's foundation. In our church, we build on what somebody else built before us. We, as spiritual laborers, are linked together in spiritual work. When Berkeley Avenue established this little mission here and built a little wooden building back in the latter part of the 1800s and set it up here, and then come along in the 1900s and about the First World War, this magnificent building was built. All of these spiritual workers were linked together. And then coming along the building of an educational building and the purchase of more property. Well, we purchased a house for that, you remember? Purchased another house on the back over there for parking, which telephone people ultimately traded for us for another house for a little parking area. And today, in the process of buying two more houses for more parking, what I'm saying is all of the spiritual workers from way back to the little wooden building that was on this lot have been linked together. And 25 years from now, 50 years from now, somebody else will be building upon what we have planted here. Whether we are conscious of it or not, we are linked, he says. Somebody else sows and another reaps. In the book of Acts, it says this: they had all things in common. Every time we stand up to teach a Sunday school lesson, we know there are millions of people across this land who are studying at the same hour, the same text from the Bible, in the same interest as we are. We will perish, but not our work. Our work is linked together. And a pastor, he seldom reaps all this harvest that he plants seed for. Why, all the pastors, Davis and Black and Sawyer, and all of these preachers ahead, planted seed, and they got ready for harvest, which we are enjoying today. And we are planting seed that some other preachers out in the future will be harvesting from. Every man is accountable unto God himself. Priscilla and Aquila, what power they had for Christianity, because they linked their talents together and taught Apollos a more practical way of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, that eloquent man. And so will we. Everybody can be a helper in spiritual work. At the close of the Civil War at White Sulphur Springs, Virginia, on a nice sunshiny day, there was a man who came in late to a divine service that was being held in the ballroom. It was General Robert E. Lee. Some people looked around and they said, "That's not like Lee to be late to preaching service." He was Episcopalian, but there was a Presbyterian minister who was preaching that day in the ballroom. And then they found out that as all the people had gathered in for the service, he had gone quietly through the corridors, and he had gone quietly through out to the trees on the grounds where man was talking with his friend or somebody else, and he quietly said to them, "We're having divine services in a few minutes in the ballroom. Won't you come and hear what the preacher has to say?" And every man without exception went to the service. We are linked together as spiritual workers, and we help together the crowd. We invite, we draw the congregation, and we assist. And one sows and another plants. Dr. Broadus said a woman came to him to talk to him about her husband's funeral. And while they were talking, he said that she told him this: "My husband attended the University of Virginia. They had a chaplain there in those days. And he went often to hear that man preach, and said that he never got really acquainted with the chaplain, but said he always talked about what the chaplain said in his sermons. He repeated them." And she said, "You know, those sayings have become household words." And then she told Dr. Broadus this: "I plan to teach these to my 12-year-old son." We are linked, my friends, together. What that preacher had said in the chapel services 25 or 40 years ago, that man had brought to his family, and his wife was putting in the heart of the child that would be carried on and on. Jesus said, "One sows, another reaps." And then I want to say in the last place this: spiritual work has rich rewards. Rich rewards. Not only links us together, not only will make us better in body physically if we do it, but it will bring to us rich rewards. In verse 36, he says this: "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Verse 36, rich rewards. A little girl afflicted so bad in the country, she could not leave her bed. But people told neighbors, and neighbors came, and she talked to them about her faith from that sick couch. The whole county was involved. She never left her room for several years, but she was always ministering. And that helpless girl on a sick bed touched the whole region. And the Bible says, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Listen, if your heart is into it, you do not know what you can accomplish for God. But unless your heart is into it, you'll never do much spiritual work. You're like a tiger in a cage, raised from a little pet. Now he's strong and big. He could tear those bars out if he just put his strength to it. But he doesn't know that he can do that now. He's been so dormant all these years. And sometimes I look at people, you know, who could do for God if they would. Nehemiah said, we built the wall because the people had a mind to work. And John says, if you do spiritual work, you're going to receive spiritual reward. I attended several funerals this week, but one in particular, I want to recall just a word for you, because I think it's pertinent on the subject I'm talking about. It was for a good friend of mine, Norman Bly, who was a preacher. He was at Wake Forest when I was there, and he passed away this week. And he planned the entire service. And I was amazed at what he had in that service. You know what he requested the preacher to preach on? Heaven. Spiritual rewards. He even requested the preachers who attended to sing, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." What I'm saying is to these who have accepted the commission, God is going to give the rewards. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Even David will receive reward for wanting to build the temple, but Solomon will receive the reward for building it. All linked together in spiritual work. If there is someone here today who has a decision they need to make or want to make, I'm going to ask the choir to sing just a stanza of Take My Life and Let It Be. If you're not a Christian, then come today and confess Christ. If you have a decision you'd like to make this your church home, then come by letter. In any way that we receive members, we welcome you. Just now, while the choir sings this stanza, without hesitation, just rise and come and take your place on the front pew.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they were eating, he brake bread and blessed it, and gave it unto them, his disciples. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for every opportunity of gathering around Thy table. It just simply enriches us to know that Jesus died on the cross for us, and help us to be willing to do something, we pray. And may our spiritual service become more fervent because of this fact. In His name we ask it. Amen.